You're listening to Seek Up, the Yoga Inspiration Show, right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. I'm Keena McGregor, your host, world-renowned yoga teacher, author of multiple books, and founder of Om Stars, the world's first online TV channel. Get ready to raise your vibration and dive into the spiritual lessons from the yoga tradition. Even if you've never practiced yoga before, you'll find kernels of wisdom to help make your world a happier and more peaceful place. So let's dive in. Let's seek up and leave with a little dose of inspiration. Hi, everyone. It's Keena here. Welcome to another episode of Seek Up, the Yoga Inspiration Show. I'm very excited to be presenting this wonderful panel discussion that was on Pride at Miami Life Center at the Miami Yoga Garage, hosted by Joseph and Edgar, who are the new directors of Miami Life Center. Come take a class with everyone here. This is a super important place to support the teachers and this message. Keep an open mind, keep an open heart. Thank you, as always, for your support. And I hope you enjoy this episode and see you real soon.
Welcome again to everyone. I'm Joseph, and I'm one of the directors of Miami Life Center. And we're going to start by each of us up here just taking a moment to introduce ourselves and to talk very briefly about some things that we think are important in both our personal journey to wellness and our community journey to wellness as queer people and allies. I came to yoga really as a way of stabilizing my life. So I spent a lot of time wrapped up in some very strong addictive patterns. And yoga really helped me sidestep those patterns, to recognize them, and then apply some changes in my life. And I really think that it was a very special combination for me of 12-step recovery philosophy combined with the discipline, insight, and general practices of yoga that helped me really get into this idea of changing. And in yoga, we focus on a number of different limbs to help us sort of implement this program of change and healing. And as I was thinking about this talk today, one of these yogic aspects that was really present in my mind is this concept called satya. And satya means truthfulness, basically. So I just wanted to say, as we move into this conversation today, we're going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to invite you to open up and share with us if you'd like to. The reason I start so bluntly with my story of recovery is because I do think that honesty, being able to honestly share what we've been through and who we are, is really pivotal to the healing process. So this idea of satya isn't just about being honest with other people. It's about being able to be honest with ourselves and then communicate that without repercussion to others. So this idea of satya and truthfulness, it's a personal process and journey and responsibility to share from our hearts about what we've been through and who we are. And that's because it can help other people. You know, when we sidestep out of these things that feel like problems, that feel like pain, that feel like hurt, when we step outside of that a little bit and recognize that sharing our experience with these things could help someone else, then it becomes a really powerful tool for transformation, not only in our life, but in the life of others. So in recovery philosophy, we say very clearly to the newcomer, to the person who's just starting, that to keep what you have to give it away. To keep what you have to give it away. So that means in recovery, even if you have 2 days sober. You can help the person who has 1 day sober, right? Because you have a little more experience with it. So that's the idea here today. We all have something to offer. We all have something of value to one another. And by sharing openly in this idea of satcha, then we can create a nice, healing, safe space here in this community. So thank you all for letting me share a little bit. Who is next on our agenda? I think it's Tay, right?
Yes. My name is Tay Kwan. You can call me Tay. I came to yoga about 2 years ago when the pandemic hit. It was kind of a source of peace for me, mental peace with everything that was going on. And of course, with the gyms being closed, this was a form of exercise for me as well. Throughout the process, though, I've found a lot of healing, a lot of self-reflection, and I think that's probably the biggest thing that I've taken away from yoga thus far. My experience with wellness, spirituality, I was raised Pentecostal. For anybody who knows what that's about, that can be pretty extreme. Women aren't allowed to cut their hair, they're not allowed to show their bodies, men have to wear pants, they're the whole... gender hierarchy or the patriarchy is very much built into that religion. And I was taught very early on that my sexuality or who I am is not right. And I was kind of taught to hate myself. So my journey with spirituality has been, to be completely upfront and honest, it's been really tough in some ways. I'm still very triggered by certain things when it comes to religion. When I think about what's going on right now within the government and them ending, you know, women's right to abortion and how so much of this could probably be stemming from Christianity or is stemming from Christianity in a Christian supremacist country, it's very triggering for me. So my healing journey dealing with kind of finding what feels right for me, what aligns with me, and being open to growing as well is of the utmost importance, but also sharing that with others within the community and providing that space for other people to pull what they need and grow and have no judgment about it. So that's me.
Thank you, Tay. Thank you. I think from here we'll go to Ivan. Ivan up on the big screen.
Hi, Joseph. Hi, Edgar. Hi, Tay. Thank you, everyone. It's so wonderful. I'm here out in Michigan, Detroit. One of my clients is launching her books this weekend. So it sold out yesterday for pre-order. So we're really excited. It's going to hit bestseller. So that's our plan. It's literally just called The Power of Self-Belief. And for me, my journey of queerness and also accepting myself, I grew up in a very strict Catholic Filipino household. So talking anything outside of what was black and white wasn't really accepted. And I love yoga and spirituality because it gives us I call it a universal language that allows us to really accept and honor diversity through this lens of unity. And I focus deeply in my practice of the inner child. So just coming back to when Joseph mentioned being able to access our bodies and feel at home in our bodies and feel safe, that's what the practice of yoga really gave me. I found a level of comfort and ease, and it initially wasn't like that. It was a very difficult practice starting. My body was in shambles. I had been practicing tennis for about 16 years, so I was coming in with a lot of ankle injuries, low back injuries. So it was a physical journey at first. And I just remember all of this fight that I had in me, this angst, this suppressed anger. It was able to transform and alchemize on the mat. And to actually feel stillness for the first time in my body and to really accept my body and where I am in my body, it allowed me to really create more of this self-love and powerful self-compassion that I could not find outside of myself. And I had gone through a very heavy major divorce about 4 or 5 years ago, 2019. I had experienced homelessness for about 6 to 8 weeks, and I was actually a director in Seattle for yoga teacher trainings in about 7 studios out there. So I saw the perfect life and the image and the illusion of that. And the lens of yoga, when we can experience this witness, I love how Joseph, you said, it's like bringing the camera out and the perspective of seeing ourselves outside, we get to begin to create choices and make choices that allow us to surround ourselves in communities where we can feel accepted. And yoga to me was the first community of acceptance that I really received. I was able to see other people and not feel judged or feel different. I felt this level of connection to just seeing each other for our love and our kindness. And that gets to go first. And when we shift out of this, I connected to my soulmate, Solomon, 6 months after my divorce. And during COVID, built a 7-figure business based essentially on self-love and compassion for ourselves. I like how RuPaul says we're all born naked and the rest is drag. And to be truly naked and to be in that space of vulnerability, it's really allowing an activation in our bodies to know that we're safe in our own homes, and that we're all just lost children looking for and walking each other back home. And I love yoga because it gave my language of queerness in the world a space that can be universally accepted and recognized. But no matter what religion we practice, what spirituality that we're in as one, no matter what community we're in, we can all find a level of connection in the lens of yoga and spirituality. And it really taught me, Joseph, Edgar, and Tan, for those watching, the practice of ahimsa, of non-harmfulness, because I always had very harmful thoughts in my mind that I don't belong here, I'm so different, I don't fit in with the boys or the girls. I was like an outsider looking in, and I was very quiet most of my life. And to have the courage and the belief and the compassion for myself to stand up allowed me to realize that true happiness, true wealth is connection and community. When we can see each other through the eyes of a child with complete innocence, with complete nakedness, and that level of vulnerability gets to be our greatest strength, that we get to stand in solidarity by honoring diversity through the lens of this unity. And I found that field of unity inside of yoga. So I'm so grateful for this. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you.
Thank you, Ivan. Edgar?
My turn. My name is Elena, and I am originally from Guatemala. I came to the United States with Joseph 3 years ago. And Guatemala, it's a beautiful country in so many ways, but it's also the boot camp for homophobia and Christianity and extreme beliefs that I feel like colonialism left in our country. And unfortunately, the community in Guatemala, it's still pushed to hide themselves and we're not really able to express ourselves, right? And when I was growing up, talking about being queer was like beyond unacceptable. Like it wasn't a time where we could really talk about that. It's still something that you cannot say openly in Guatemala. And because of that, I imagine because of the influence that maybe my parents had in that time, I was put in military school since I was a kid. And I just feel like as part of the queer community, we always power through trauma, right? It feels like since we're kids, we're pushed to power through trauma. And it's hard for a kid to understand that society is telling you that something is wrong with you. Like growing up with that thought in your mind since you're very little, it's very hard to process these things. And I believe that, at least myself, I just decided that I was going to power through it. And I started to understand everything and the repercussions of what happened until I was an adult in my life. And that also pushed me to be in very dangerous situations. I was sexually abused when I was a kid. And then I ended up in a relationship that I was like a teenager, and I was with someone that was way older than me, like 37, and I was 16. So I feel like all of those situations were caused because I felt that I always had to hide myself. So in order to hide myself, I would like run into these situations where I felt that someone was being supportive, but that also put me in a very vulnerable state. Coming to the US for me was also a hard experience because there was a lot of intersection between being an immigrant from Guatemala. We were coming when Trump was putting Guatemalans in like cages in the border. And I was processing the fact that I could hold hands and get married with my husband, which for me wasn't even an option. It wasn't something that I ever thought that I was going to be able to do in my life. So I had to process that. That for me was hard, also processing the fact that I was getting married and that I was being able to. I felt so much guilt for some reason that I was going to be able to do that, and knowing that maybe... that in Guatemala, that is not even an option, right? It has been a process, again, like getting to understand the privilege that we have here, even if they're trying to take them away, which again feels like you're running, you know? Like there is this sense that you're always running and always like fighting to be considered a human being. And I feel like that's why wellness is so important for our community, because we're just powering through these things. And for me, at least coming to yoga, was realizing that there was a way of healing that trauma, right? Of not being a victim of the circumstances, but understanding that I was made stronger because of those experiences. And that through healing practices, I maybe could hold space for people to feel that they don't have to hide. And that's why this gathering is so important, because we wanted to create a space where the queer community could come and don't feel that they have to adapt to the heteronormative spaces that we navigate all the time. And healing, even inside our own community, in order to heal, we have to acknowledge that there is division even inside our own community. Like for trans folks, it's even harder to process all these things. And if you're a trans person of color, it's even harder yet. So I feel like it's very important that we acknowledge the things that are even broken inside our own community in order to be able to hold space also for people inside our own community that need a place to express themselves. So I believe that's why wellness is so important, and sharing these practices that are not always welcoming for the community either. You know, like a lot of yoga spaces, the fact that you're holding a wellness practice does not make it a welcoming space just because it's yoga. You have to make the efforts to make the space welcoming. So it's very important that not just saying like, oh, we welcome diversity, but taking the steps towards that and doing like palpable actions to say, come, I can be there for you. I think that's very important, at least for us. And that's also going to make our allies understand what they have to do in order to support us better. That's my journey through yoga. I'm sorry, I get emotional.
Thank you.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
There we can transition to Jamal.
Well, I'm Jamal.
Hi. Pardon my tardiness. Hi, I'm Jamal, also known as Porcelain. I guess I'm telling my journey, speaking my wellness, what does it bring to me? Okay. Well, last night was definitely amazing, and I got a simple piece to bring today that actually ties in with that. So this is divine timing. Show up as yourself. Show up as yourself. Each person's experience is very important. And I think that is the path forward towards liberation and holding liberated spaces. And speaking to what he was saying, where we have to speak on division, you have to confront that division head on, sort of like shadow work, what people will call it. But you have to confront those ugly things in order to provide, you know, safe spaces and brave spaces for people to show up authentically with who they are. That whole powering through trauma and powering through, it doesn't work. Fake it till you make it doesn't work. And I always found myself doing that. My years from 14 years old to 19 years old are a blur because I was faking it till I made it. I was faking everything because of what society told me I needed to be. Oh, you need to be this, you need to be that. And everything was scripted for me, right? Everything in my life was scripted for me. And I couldn't show up for myself authentically, so I faked it. I learned how to be the best Oscar award-winning actor, performer for other people's vision of me, perception of me. And I had no safe space but inside my body, inside myself. I had no safe space but in the back of my closet during high school, you know, and that's where I found a peace within myself that was like, okay, I'm not the proverbial in the closet. I'm not going to do this no more. I'm not going to do with suicidal thoughts and everything. Oh, I don't want to be here. I want to die, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I couldn't do that anymore. I really couldn't. So my journey with wellness had to begin within my body. It started within my body. Started learning that your homosexual urges are not a sin unto the Lord. You know, all the things that I grew up Baptist, Jehovah's Witness. I was disassociated from Jehovah's Witness. My mom disowned me, threw me out. All of the sad origories of emotional trauma. I ran out into the streets. I'm an HIV 17-year thriver. That's what I say, change of language. And with that being said, I'm here at 37 years old, looking like I'm still fresh out of high school. And it came with this wellness journey, with this journey within myself that was like, wait, 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 wait.
y'all are not gonna, especially with what's going on, you're not gonna have autonomy over my body, because in my body, I am divine. In my body, I am free. And I'm gonna take this everywhere. So that is my platform. I take my peace, my love, my joy, everything that is inside of me everywhere I go. Because the practice isn't just for the mat, right? The practice is to fill the spaces in which you're in. And to show, and the more you show up authentically for yourself, the more you break barriers for everybody else to show up authentically for themselves as well. Yeah. So that's my little piece, my little journey of wellness. It also carried me through corporate America. I ran a whole airline. The one y'all hate, Spirit. But it was when it was cute. That's my energy. And I parted ways with corporate America because it required me to not only hide parts of myself, but power through every day and to damn near kill myself for in trade for something, a benefit I was getting at the time. But I decided I couldn't do that anymore. The panorama, or whatever you want to call it, the panty, the pandemic, the panini, taught me a lot, because I had to sit again with myself again. We had nowhere to go but outside, connected back with nature. I did a lot of grounding, a lot of meditating. And I was like, this don't make no sense, but it makes all the sense in the world. And now I'm here with you guys in this space, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy for this space. This is, during the pandemic, I was like, this is the shit I'm talking about. Like, this is what I'm talking about. The spaces that need to be curated and the space that needs to be held with all the chaos that's going on around us, that like there needs to be this. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we created this space to share. This is a little bit of our story, but the idea is to create an open space where everyone can like share with us, share with the community, and I believe like we just mentioned, there is an underlying trigger with the spiritual world and the LGBTQ plus experiences that religion dictates a lot of the things that end up harming us, right? Like there's a lot of root there. So our approach to spirituality is not always easy, right? Mm-hmm. It can come loaded with a lot of baggage too from our previous experiences with spiritual practices. To open the conversation, if anyone wants to share, we just ask you to be mindful with the questions, not questions that you can Google if you're an ally. This is really trying to be a safe space for the queer community. So we just want to open the space for anyone that wants to share a little bit about their stories. And
can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Hello, everybody. My name is Cedric.
Hi, Cedric.
Oh, I got the camera.
Thank you all for sharing your stories, giving us the courage to share ours as well. I think it's really great to see five individuals showing up authentically and speaking the truth and being completely honest with us and some of us strangers. So thank you for that. This conversation, I feel, happens with me and my friends and colleagues often. The idea of intersectionality was spoken about yesterday at an event, and it's something I think about as a Black person, as a gay person, as a queer person. Which one am I showing up as first? Is my Black identity seen first, or is my queer identity seen first? And a lot of times with spiritual spaces, with wellness spaces, do not always feel inclusive for me first as a Black person, right? It's not always seen as a space where I can come and feel welcomed, or my identity is going to be honored, my culture is going to be honored. So for the past maybe 10 years, I've been off and on with yoga, through dance, through performing, and I've always had what I said to Tay yesterday, a love-hate relationship with it, mostly because of not feeling seen, not feeling it being inclusive. So I've been really trying to challenge myself in my wellness, in my spirituality, asking myself, what is it that can make me feel seen, make me feel that it's beneficial? And what has really come up for me is the idea of honoring my ancestors, honoring the people before me, whether that be people that I don't know, people that I do know that have passed on, giving them the recognition, giving them the thanks, giving them the honor that they deserve in terms of allowing me to show up and giving me the courage to show up as myself. So yeah, that's basically it. It's really about, for me, intersectionality and really navigating that often in professional spaces. I work in mental health. So I got into that because I didn't see a need for, especially Black queer men, Black men in general, honoring their mental health or taking time to take care of their mental health. So I'm really happy to be here. I'm really happy that we're having this conversation. I think it's really important. So
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
I also want to
thank you. So hi everyone, I'm Eddie. I've been in person too. I'm a yoga teacher here for a long time now. I don't know where to start, but maybe thank you for sharing your stories, you guys. That was amazing. I feel like you guys have gone through so much, you know, in terms of like, you know, navigating like being queer throughout your lives. I have similar experiences in that regard. Mostly internalized, like my relationship with my family, like, you know, I kind of have that unconditional love to some extent, where like, you know, when I came out, when I was brought out, that's a long story that I can't even, but if you want to talk later, when I was brought out of the closet, you know, like there was like this half and half embrace of like, yeah, we still love you. You're still Eddie and like whatever. But then all these things that are coming up for you, let's see what's real or not. Let's see what's actually there. And you know, like that's coming from people that love me, but also just had no idea, you know, like, and I had to hide a lot from them, and I had to like, just like be sort of like have this shadow life, like behind their backs. I wasn't very adventurous, so I didn't leave the house. I play a lot of video games, but I met people, I did things that like, you know, like just could have just been guided better, like if I had like people that were willing to like listen to me and understand me and not make me feel ashamed of like sort of just like my urges, like, you know, and like all these like different things that were coming up for me. You know, Latin background, Cuban American, so a lot of similar experiences were like just maybe a little bit more open with homosexuality to some degree. Like my mom was like essentially a hag. Like, you know, I mean, that with love. She had so many gay friends that she was just, I was just like, what? Like, what don't you understand? But, you know, but still very, like, you know, it was, that was fine with her friends. But then like, when it came to me, she wanted something better for me, like in a way, or just like kind of like something that where I was like more protected. She's very protective. and was like, you know, like coming up against the experience from her ignorance, like not knowing how I or my capability of like confronting the world. She feared for me, and fear is contagious, y'all. Like, let that shit go if you can and whenever you can. It's hard, it's not easy, but but just it's definitely getting in your way. And that's been my experience of it in general. Thank you. thank you.
Well, my perspective, I guess, as an ally, or hopefully like try to be good ally, what you were bringing about the religion, it's so difficult because I'm born as a Catholic. I admire Jesus very much as a spiritual teacher, as a human, noble Christianity made out to be for him. But I think he was a natural, awesome, pretty badass yogi, right? Mm-hmm. And then religion made it, and the patriarchy, specifically the white man, made it out to be like this. However, as much as I try to think of myself as an open-minded person, and I live here in Miami, and as you know, it's a bubble. We're protected here because we're surrounded by our gay friends and whatever. And we think that everything is safe. But outside this little bubble, it's not like that. And I have a gay brother. And yet, as open as I might feel like I am, I've caught myself so many times with that Catholic microchip or whatever little society microchip that's been installed. And yeah, I'm thankful to have the awareness to notice that, but it's still to today, I'm still peeling off the layers of the onion. And I'm thinking, I'll share something from the past with my brother. I remember this was you, some 20 years ago. I was in Venezuela and I was talking to my brother. I didn't know he was gay at the time. And he asked me about my job at the time in the fashion industry. And my exact words to him were, oh yeah, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, whatever. Look at the biblical microchip and so on. And he's like, what do you mean by that? And I said, yeah, because I work with 90%, 97% of the people that I work with are gay. And he stayed quiet and he put his head down. And then he said, and how do you feel about that? And my intuition, my sixth sense was like, he's asking me in a different way. And there was always very much like a teacher with him, always teaching him. And I said, well, and I didn't know, I felt like, oh, he felt like this is bad because I work with gay people. And at the time he was with new born again Christians and they were like getting fanatic with that kind of thing. My aunt and him, this is a moment to tell him, whoa, wait, no. And I caught myself and I said, no. And I said, I think this is absolutely normal. God created us all. And I gave him a whole entire little speech that made him feel comfortable. And then I went back to New York. And a few days after that, I got an email telling me I felt myself so comfortable with the conversation that we had. And I want to tell you, and I want you to let you know, be the only one to know that I'm gay. And so I found at that moment the power of how things can be shifted from the words have very powerful influence of what my words were first as to what my words were after, right? And even today, I was having a conversation with Edgar yesterday that I can still see, you know, some things that we might say out of like, you know, it just springs out of your head, or thoughts that we might have that's still there. And so I think that it's so important to do what you're doing, first of all, because it brings awareness. And with awareness comes knowledge, and knowledge is power. And in my ignorance, I would love for you, and if there's anybody else like me, especially with like Latin background, that were like stay in the past with a certain traditional way, if you can elaborate. Yeah, I can Google it. But it's so much nicer when like Edgar explained it yesterday about pronouns. If you can talk a little bit about that, that would greatly appreciate it from your points of view.
Yeah, I think those little moments that you were feeling that where Christianity is ingrained in you and you have like these urges that come out and tell you to that maybe this is not okay, or like we experienced that too, you know, because that was also, at least in my experience, and I imagine if you grew up Christian too, like the idea of sin, it's very heavy. It's very heavy, and it dictates a lot of your behavior when you are developing. When you're a kid and you're starting to understand how life works, and you have to calculate how to behave. To give you an example, for me, being in a military school, and I'm like, I cannot hide that I'm gay. There is no way in hell that I can hide that I'm gay, you know? And just having to calculate these things and who you can talk enough that you don't feel is gonna backfire if they like take you out of the closet, like when you are not ready to come out yet. And all these like conversations you're having in the back of your mind happen to us as queer people times 100, right? Because you are like having to calculate your behavior with absolutely everyone most of the time. In regards to the pronouns, I feel like maybe we can let more people share their experiences. I believe that yesterday I was having that conversation too about pronouns, and I know there's a lot of questions in regards to that. I do believe that there is a lot of information out there to and I'm not sure if this is the space to explain pronouns. But it's basically, if someone asks you to identify them in a certain way, it's like kind of what I was telling you, that if I tell you my name is Juan, and I want you to call me Juan, and you tell me, no, your name is Edda. And I'm like, but I want you, like, I changed my name, and now my name is Juan. And you're like, no, but my name, your name is Edgar. I met you as Edgar, and your name is Edgar. And it's like, kind of, that's kind of what's happening with pronouns now, right? Like, people are choosing their pronouns and how they want to be addressed, and there is this resistance to respecting how they want to be perceived in the world. So it's as easy as asking someone their pronouns, and how they tell you to address themselves, that's how you should be addressing them.
Yeah, I just feel like speaking or adding to that, there's this like, you know, resistance to like addressing people as they want to be addressed, and this like ignorance toward like recognizing that you want to be addressed in a certain way too.
Yeah.
And you're, and just because it lines up with like the way the rest of the world addresses other people, and like just kind of like that commonality, it's okay to be confused. It's okay to be like a little vulnerable in a moment, and just to be like, no one's trying to no one's trying to disarm you necessarily, or make you vulnerable by requesting to be like acknowledged in the way that they feel most comfortable, and also feeling that you need to be addressed in a certain way, I feel like comes from like a lot of discomfort with what's going on around you already. And that's just kind of like, I mean, I identify as he, him, but like, that's just like my instinct about it. So I don't have to like go through this necessarily. But I think that's what makes the most sense to me in terms of like pronouns and like, you know, yeah. And it's just a matter of like, it's a matter of respect. It's period. It's respect. It is what it is, in respect. Everyone, every single person deserves it, no matter who they are and how different they are. And we're all very different. And that's, I think, a point that like is important to make too, because like there is sometimes like we veer toward like this like sameness like narrative where it's just like, oh yeah, no, we're fine. Like you're not that gay, or you're not like, or you pass, or like this and that. I think that needs to be like sort of like taken apart and just know we're really, really different. Every single one of us has something different to bring to the table, and that doesn't make either one of us better or worse. So, yeah.
My question is like, for example, if I meet somebody, so if they tell me how to be addressed, obviously I will definitely respect that. But then is there like a protocol? Am I supposed to ask, or unless I'm being told? I guess I think that's where the confusion is, because I wouldn't like to disrespect anybody, obviously.
Well, I mean, as a cis person as well, I'm in the same boat as you, because I'm queer. So, cis is born of that, like, I identify as male, and I identify as male. So cis is identifying as with me. Trans is you transitioned into. Okay, so we're in the same,
yes,
same boat, so to speak. And I just see it as first of all, if I don't know who you are, I'm going to literally go off of what you present to me.
if you are showing up to me and then when you correct me, I'm just not going to take it as, oh, I made a fucking mistake.
Oh,
I'm not going to get down on myself. I'm just going to be like, all right, boom, so you she. Okay, all right, so she, her over there. You know, I'm just going to keep rolling with it instead of beating myself up over not understanding what went on in that moment. You know, basically, you just roll with it.
Right.
I think it isn't that serious to approach it as a life or death situation. If a person just, it's a matter of respect. Okay, well, all right, I'm sorry, my bad. I think we forget that we have that thing called, I'm sorry, my bad, I fucked up in this moment. And it's okay to fuck up in the moment and recorrect yourself and move forward. Like, don't we learn that in yoga? You fail. Okay, well, brush it off. All right, girl. All right, pick yourself back up. Get back up. You can do it. All right, warrior one, let's go. You know, it's kind of like that same spirit of intention. Like, okay, girl, yeah, I fucked up there. All right, let's move on.
I think what's...
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, I'll talk about the pronouns as well, because I get this a lot often very much. And it's so funny, I was traveling in Europe last month, and I would always get mistaken as ma'am. And then they would like try and apologize, and you can see someone's face get really red. And they're like, they'll apologize and they're sorry and things like this. And usually I've seen this formalness in asking it, we'll usually say, or friends of mine will say, what's your preferred pronouns? And my answer usually I give is, I transcend the binary code of pronouns, because as evolved beings, we're actually learning to accept each other as works of art. And I say, I'm simply, like, my preferred pronoun is angel, because angels don't really have a gender. And then they start laughing and giggling, and they're like, okay, because in their mind, they're worried about saying he, she, they. But in my mind, I'm just saying, see me as I am. See me as I am a being that is here experiencing something with you, but we're recognizing together that we're all works of art. And the way that you see works of art, the way that you like to see it, if it's she for you, I'm like, perfect. If it's he for you, amazing. It's like, you can make it whatever you want it to be. And so I play a lot with this. I make it a dialogue, a very playful conversation versus it feeling. And I have friends that get really offended when they're like, no, I'm like, I'll even have to correct myself in the community. So it's quite interesting how when we can go beyond just black and white of, oh, you're male or female, we are really opening ourselves up to a spectrum of color. And I love the flag because it's literally the chakras in yoga. And it's so beautiful because it's like when we're all lit up, we mix all the colors of ourselves. And the first song, it's like, this was my gay anthem growing up, was Colors of the Wind and Pocahontas. So I'd always connect to Colors of the Wind. And I'd always sing that song in the background, and also Reflections. And so there's always these songs I think about in terms of starting to think about, and someone mentioned, the first who spoke about intersections, I call intersections of the naked space. How do we honor our ethnicity, our nationality, our roots, our culture? And I really speak out about it being much more about our ancestral triumph over our ancestral traumas. So instead of bringing a focus and a camera light to the trauma, it's saying, and speaking out that we're put here on this planet in this lifetime to move people in a way that allows them to see that there's much more than just black and white, that there's so many colors in the rainbow. And that when we reflect that, we're shining multiple levels and layers of love where we can accept each other in our play. And I call it this innovative artist. When you're queer, you come out like 10 to 20 to 30 times in your lifetime. So we have this level of courage and confidence and bravery where we're like sticking out already. And for others to accept that, it actually edges them to start to shift their conversation and open their mind and open the flexibility of what they believed is true. And I call this default information. We usually are told information on default, but if it doesn't feel good in your body and you feel neglected and abandoned, then it's so important for us to ask ourselves, what makes us feel at home and how can I create a safe space and a home also when I start a conversation? And I think of it like an invitation into our world. The more I tried to fit in other people's world, I suffered my whole life. And rather, I say that when we ask about pronouns, when we ask about intersections, it's so important that we have the courage to invite people into our world so that they can experience our lens and walk in our shoes. So that's what I want to share about that.
All right, y'all, let's wrap it up there so that you can do some amazing vinyasa yoga with yes. Tay and Alan. Thank you all so much for coming. Look out for the dates for the next one. We'll announce those in the next day or two. All right? Thank you all so much.
Hey there, it's Kino here. I just wanted to take a moment and thank you for tuning in to my show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Your support really means the world to me. I'm inspired by the fact that you're inspired and that you tune in each week and keep the inspiration to get on your mat and keep practicing and make the world a happier and more peaceful place. Remember, you can always practice with me on omstars.com. That's www.omstars.com. If you're inspired to read my books, you can check those out on any available online bookseller. Just search for my name, Kino McGregor. And my newest book called Get Your Yoga On is perfect for beginners. You can check that out. Otherwise, stay tuned and I'll see you next week.